Welcome to my review of Gintama Chapter 576, Two Male Beast. I am your host, Colton. Usually I'm the host of Life Lessons, the Gintama Manga Cast, just in case you're listening to this on YouTube. Basically a podcast dedicated to not only just talking about Gintama, but Gintama through the past official English released by Viz. So that's a cool thing. You can find that over at gintalifelessons.wordpress.com. It's funny, some of the material we just got done talking about recently on the podcast might be kind of sort of related to this chapter, and that's all I'm going to say about that. But you know, if you're listening to this on YouTube or through the Life Lessons feed, if you're listening to this on the Life Lessons feed and you have not read past where we have, where we are currently in the manga on the podcast, please don't listen to this. You will be severely spoiled. And if you're just listening to this on YouTube in general, if you're not caught up to this chapter, just in general, really, that especially goes for you. Don't listen to this if you don't want to be spoiled. So, there's your usual warning. So, let's just talk about the chapter. Chapter 576, Two Male Beasts. Pretty straightforward stuff. I think I might actually have stuff to talk about with this chapter, though. Though, I guess let me just get the more... I'm not sure what the word is. I guess obvious stuff out of the way. So, this chapter obviously was... I thought it was very good. The fight between Umibozu and Kamui is off to a very badass start. A lot of great moments from Umibozu, a lot of great blows from Kamui and him all together. I feel like the art really shines in this chapter, because Sorachi's art, I've said it once and I'll say it again, has gotten so much better since the beginning of the series. Or I guess since very early on. I know his art goes through a lot of changes every once in a while, or I guess multiple changes, whatever, but again, I'll say it again, like, his art is really good nowadays. He's very good at conveying a lot of these fights, and these the fights for the past, I'm gonna say, like, year or two have consistently looked very good. And I thought this chapter, like, a lot of really great panels, a lot of the, like, impacts from Umibozu and Kamui's punches looked very nice. They looked very painful at some points. Just art was very good. I really liked it, really enjoyed it. I thought in the beginning Kamui was gonna cut more people in half with his giant sword. I'm sort of disappointed that got thrown away so quickly. I kind of wish he did some more damage with that, but... You know, obviously, you know, just because you got a really big sword doesn't mean you're gonna really do anything to Umibozu, as we saw in this chapter. Which I thought Umibozu's umbrella got cut by the giant sword, but I guess not. I wasn't really sure what happened there, but whatever. His giant sword's broken, and now it's just a simple fight to the death with their usual umbrella weapons, whatever. Still, I've always thought their umbrella weapons were really cool. I'll just say that there. What else did I want to talk about? There's really not, like, a lot I want to talk about, but at the same time, there is, I guess. I'm kind of doing some of this on the fly here. I have very vague notes this week. I guess the big thing I want to talk about is, some of it we've already seen and we've already known about for quite a while, but I really like some of the little flashbacks we got this chapter. Mostly because, like, you know, we kind of get callbacks to Umibozu and Kamui's fight from that day, I guess, you know, the day that Umibozu had to fight his son and almost killed him until Kagura, little baby Kagura, had to stop them, which, you know, we've known about that incident since way back when in the manga. I want to say that was revealed in chapter 63. And again, I only know that because we actually just got done covering the Umibozu arc on the podcast recently. And You can find that at gintalifelessons.wordpress.com if you want to listen to our thoughts on the Umibozu arc as we recap it chapter by chapter. But, man, like, I'm not really sure where to start on some of this stuff. I guess I think I might have talked about them a little bit on my last review, but let's just get my feelings for Kamui out of the way, just in case I didn't, because I'm not sure. I don't know. Again, I probably talked about this a little bit on the last review, but I just to kind of repeat, just in case this is your first review you're listening to from me. My relationship with Kamui has been kind of weird. Like, I want to say when I first watched the Yoshiwara arc in the anime, I don't think I hated him, but I don't think I loved him either. Like, he was just kind of around. Like, I think I was excited to see him because we had already known way beforehand that Kagura had a brother, but I guess, you know, obviously it was really exciting to finally see him in person and doing things like, you know, fighting Hosen and, you know, just being a cocky little asshole, you know, basically doing nothing but commentating on the fight with Gin and Hosen. Like, he really didn't do much other than kill a couple of prostitutes, and I think he almost killed Seita at one point, or maybe he spared him. I don't remember. I haven't watched Yoshiwara in a long time. Maybe I should rewatch that again at some point. But, you know, Kamui is obviously an important character to the story and everything, but my problem with Kamui up to the Shogun assassination arc was that I didn't think he was particularly an interesting character. And I, like, we didn't get to see almost, like, we got to spend virtually almost no time with him other than the Yoshiwara arc and that one episode where the Harusami basically try to kill Takasugi and Kamui has to end up saving Takasugi, and that basically the episode where they form an alliance together. You know, obviously, again, like, anytime Kamui's involved, it's usually important, but I guess, as a character, he was never really that interesting with me, and I didn't really have any attachment to him, so for a while, he was kind of my least favorite character. And I think I can say, like, he's one of my least favorite characters. Like, my least favorite character is still Oboro. I do not give a shit about Oboro. I really hope Sorachi does something with him soon, but again, like I said, I'm sure I said this before, but ever since the Shogun assassination arc, I feel like Kamui's character development, characterization, whatever you want to call it, has gotten not a lot more interesting, but a bit more interesting. Like, I feel like he's kind of getting his foot in the door in terms of all that stuff. Like, again, we found out in the Shogun assassination arc that Kamui had this thing where he would hide his wounds, his battle wounds, from his constant fights with, I guess, other people who lived in the slums, away from his dying mother, you know, so he wouldn't worry her, which I like the idea of Kamui kind of being a mama's boy. That's just such a juxtaposition to how we know him currently. I just think that's kind of funny. That's a funny juxtaposition. So we found out that, and I overall, you know, I feel like Kamui had a lot more moments to shine. Like, again, his fight with Okita was great, and, you know, we had that little thing where he grew Goku eyes and was like, oh man, I'm so excited, and literally talked like Goku, which was great. You know, Kamui had a few nice moments here and there in the Shogun assassination arc, and I obviously, you know, we knew with this arc that, you know, the relationships between the Yato characters were going to be important, as we're seeing now. And I think this chapter in particular has maybe kind of excited to possibly learn more about Kamui, because, you know, not only did we get Yato flashbacks, but, you know, some of the stuff that we had already known since way earlier on in the manga, you know, we got to see through kind of Kamui's perspective, which I feel like was something that we had been missing with this character for a long time. That's not that's not something we've ever gotten before up until now. So it's really awesome to start seeing some of this stuff through his perspective, and I kind of hope we get more. Another thing I really liked was somehow I found his kind of, not, I guess, his inner monologue to himself about how he's all, where basically where he was like, oh, Umibozu, you see now? I got stronger. I got strong enough to not only beat you, but to kill you and all that stuff. Because we do get a moment where, you know, Umibozu leaves Kamui and the rest of his family to, go out and make money, you know, ends meet, keep, support his family. And right before he does so, he tells Kamui to get stronger so he can protect Kagura and his mother, which I maybe this might be stretching it a bit, but I wonder if possibly somehow that triggered something in Kamui and made him feel like I wonder if Kamui, because I'm not really explaining it very well. Basically, what I think is super interesting is I think they're like I never really thought about this up until now, but I've never really thought about how Umibozu constantly being away from his family and out in outer space doing stuff, fighting monsters or whatever. I never really thought about how that might have affected Kamui, not physically, psychologically. Because I feel like Kamui isn't just crazy because he's a Yato and all that stuff. I feel like Umibozu being gone for so long, so often, might have something to do with it. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of potential here for exploring Kamui's feelings on his father and how he feels about Umibozu, because we got to explore that a lot with Kagura and how she feels about her father, and basically how Umibozu and Kagura feel about each other during the Umibozu arc, which was all really, really great and really well done. But I wonder if that's maybe why I haven't found Kamui as interesting, I guess, up until very recently, because we don't really know how he feels about his father, and I'm kind of hoping that, you know, some of the little moments we got here and there with this week's chapter might be kind of foreshadowing to some development or some kind of characterization that we'll hopefully be getting this arc, because I honestly would be interested in how Kamui feels about all this, because, again, we've never gotten anything like that up to this point. Like, nothing's been hinted at, nothing. At least, I think, up until now. So, not only do I hope we get more Yato flashbacks, even if it's stuff that we already know, I kind of want a more cohesive Yato flashback all told from Kamui's perspective, which I think is totally something that we're due for. But yeah, I just, like, I've never seen Kamui in this light. And I don't know for sure if we're going to get it, but I'm hoping that's where Sorachi's going with this character, because if that's the case, then I am all for it, because we got a lot of stuff between Kagura and Umibozu back in the Umibozu arc, you know, with Kagura, you know, disliking her father because, you know, he was always away and all that stuff. But again, on the other hand, you know, I think we talked about it on the podcast that Umibozu's not exactly a bad father, more so than just he was very misguided about how to, because, you know, him and Kamui's relationship pretty much crumbled at one point, and he was afraid that the same thing was going to happen with him and Kagura. You know, he was afraid of Kagura turning into Kamui and going after his life because, you know, she's a Yato, and he was probably afraid of the eventuality that her Yato blood would take her over, and the same thing would happen with him and her as it did with him and Kagui. So, obviously a lot of that stuff's been resolved, but I feel like we're probably going to get that same, kind of stuff with Kamui and Umibozu possibly, I'm not sure. Basically, there's a lot of stuff in the air, up in the air, I should say. A lot of stuff that could happen, but I'm not sure will happen, but I really want to see happen. Again, like I said, I like this chapter a lot, mostly because I think this is a good step in the right direction for giving Kamui a little more character. Because I like Kamui as a character, I actually really would like to delve into. Like, I actually want to know more about him, seeing as what we've been getting lately with the past year's worth of material with the manga. So I think that's, well, actually, I think the other thing I really liked was I was really feeling it when during the moment when Umibozu is fighting Kamui, and in the middle of their fight, he thinks back to the day where Kagura had to hold him back from killing Kamui back in the past, which I thought we were going to get a repeat of that, but obviously what ends up happening is Kagura ends up holding Kamui back, because it's sort of a parallel, or I guess a reverse parallel of what happened in the past within their family, how, you know, Umibozu was the one who almost lost himself to his Yato instincts, and Kagura had to hold him back. But now Kamui's kind of going through that same dilemma, you know, him, you know, being mostly like giving into his Yato instincts, and Umibozu being the one who is trying to, you know, fight to defend himself instead of Kamui. So I thought all of that was really nice. I was probably going to, like, I don't know, like, I didn't cry, and I certainly didn't get, like, as sad as when I saw Gin and Shoyo and all that stuff happen, but I did get kind of sad watching Kagura, you know, try to hold Kamui back and being all like, oh, well, you know, no matter how many times or how many stupid things you two guys do, I'm going to always stop you. Let's just be a family again, which, man, I feel like we're going to get a lot more development for Kagura too. Like, I feel like we could do it. I could do an entire thing where I talk about how much Kagura has really grown since her first appearance. Like, I think I kind of want to see some of this stuff from Kagura's perspective too. Cause I kind of want to see the moment where she decides, hey, I'm going to leave. Like, I feel like, well, actually we probably kind of got that with younger Kagura earlier in the arc, leaving flowers on her mother's grave and all that, being all like, I'm going to leave now, mommy, and I'll come back. So maybe that was it, but I don't know. Like, again, I kind of want to see a more cohesive, more, I guess, linear Yato backstory with all of whatever we've learned. Maybe we'll get it. I don't know. We'll probably get it, like a Yato flashback of some kind, but I'm really glad we're getting into Yato stuff. Like, this stuff, I think, is going to be really, really good. And I really just, I want to see more Yato flashbacks. What more can I say? I think that's going to be about it. So, I guess, join me next week for my review of Chapter 577. But until then, you can listen to more of my reviews on the website at gentalifelessons.wordpress.com. And you can always listen to more of my reviews here on YouTube at youtube.com/GintaMangaCast. So with that, we'll see you guys next week, and hope you enjoyed my review. Bye.